M21, The Impact of the Divine Idea on the World. Number 1A.
We have been considering the days of creation in the subtones, and as we have seen, that 1,000 years are like 1 day for the Lord, so that we can see that the divine idea that is working in the Judean Christian civilization seems to follow a very old belief that it takes 1,000 years to bring forth a divine idea, a new divine step. And so I want to show you now in more detail how the biblical history and afterwards the Christian history in the Western world was actually showing forth that the impact of that divine idea. So I start again with the first 1,000-year period and take it in the subtones. We have already seen that the first 1,000-year period of runs from 4,000 to 3,000 BC and embraces that whole period of creation. The first record of creation, the second record of creation, then that whole genealogy from Adam through his sons, Abel, Cain, Seth, then from the genealogy from Cain to the land of Nod and to nothingness, and whereas the genealogy of Seth goes through many generations and generations up to Seth, who walked with God. Now, within that period, we can see mind as mind, namely that the first record of creation, which is let there be light, the creative activity of mind, that creative activity of mind in the first record of creation begins to analyze the darkness of the second record of creation, and so shows that really let there be light, that this light is also at the same time analyzing the false sense of creation, which brings us therefore to the great separation, mind as spirit, between those two great genealogies, the genealogy of Cain and Canaan, and on the other side, the spiritual evolution of Seth up to Enoch. That's the great separation that took place, and where we see then that in the third subtone, mind as soul, where we had in the days of creation that the light was called day and the darkness was called night, and where it became definite here, it also became very definite, namely that Cain, that wrong sense of creation, then dwelt in the land of Nod, in that dry land, in the land of Nod, whereas we can see that over the great line of Seth to Enoch, he walked with God. And so he identified creation with God, with mind. So here we have a very clear-cut sense of the subtones. We see that also in the second 1,000-year period. In the second 1,000-year period, which goes from 3,000 to 2,000 BC, we have that great sense of let there be a firmament. It showed itself forth as the ark that would make a firmament between the waters above and the waters beneath. It is the ark of understanding. We have seen that second Day of Creation has three subtones, and here in the second thousand-year period, we see that again. Spirit as mind, we first have that sense that Noah conceived, mind that Noah conceived with his understanding of the ark, of that which could separate. He had a terrific conception to build a distinction between the waters above and the waters beneath. And he made up his mind to build that ark. You have again a creative sense, spirit as mind, to build that ark, to build that understanding which would be his substance and his safety. So, when he had conceived of it and built it, then at the point of spirit as spirit, where in the Days of Creation we have, and God made the firmament, Noah actually entered the ark, did take everything into his consciousness what was of value, left out everything that was not of value, pitched the ark very closely so that nothing could enter, so that there would be a complete separation, that no waters of mortal mind could come in. And so this understanding became really his substance. He could survive. The end of that story indicates then the third subtone, namely spirit as soul, where we had in the Days of Creation that the firmament was called heaven, definite order, an ordered understanding. Here, the ark landed, here again, you have that sense that it left the waters and found dry land under it and landed on Mount Ararat, meaning that he had found holy ground. Ararat means holy ground. So that understanding which Noah had became really his heaven, his holy ground. We come further to the third thousand-year period, and actually the further we go, the more intricate the story becomes, the more illustration come in, and we begin to see these subtones clearer and clearer. We come to the third thousand-year period of soul, which runs from the year 2000 to 1000 BC. It includes that whole period of Abraham going out of Ur, then the whole wandering period, going down to Egypt, coming back from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, going through the wilderness, crossing Jordan, and finally settling in the promised land. Again, you have at the end the land of, that was promised. We have seen in the third day of creation that there are five distinct subtones. And in considering the history of that passage from sense to soul, as indicated in the Bible, we can also see these five distinct periods. We have, first of all, soul as mind. Here, Abraham comes out of the land of Ur. He goes out from his father's house, out of Ur of the Chaldees. The Chaldees were the materially minded people, they were interested a lot in astronomy and geometry already, and he was going to find a new science. He was trying to find a new city, the city of God, the promised land. So he went out from human reasoning, separated himself from human reasoning, came out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he was renamed from Abraham to Abraham. Abraham, the father of the multitude, and so he became really the creator, the father of the whole tribe, of the whole Israelitic nation. The Jews, the Israelites, always go back to Abraham. They don't go back to Adam. They go back to Abraham as their father. Abraham, Mrs. Edith finds, has that life-preserving power of spiritual understanding. You have a wonderful sense of soul as mind, spiritual understanding being the power for preservation, so that the seed could be within itself. And Abraham was promised that his seed will be as the multitude, as the sand on the beach, and so he became the father of the multitude that would, through his creative vision, really bring forth the whole the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. In that passage from sense to soul, it was not enough just to have that creative sense of mind and to have a vision to go out and seek for a new city. But he had also, that period has also to struggle for it. And you come to the period of soul as spirit, as the great struggle for this, in this wilderness period, symbolized through that well-known story of Jacob struggling with Esau, those twin brothers, one struggling with the other, until finally Jacob could see that he could see Esau as if he would see God's face. I think it would be, what was the rendering in the English Bible, to see God face to face. And therefore he could see that he had to leave the struggle of duality and just stick to the spiritual identity of himself. And when he could see that he had other spiritual identity, not the struggling identity, he was renamed, because he was called that he was a fighter for God, that he was what you call him, the Israel is the fighter, I think the fighter for God. I don't know the exact name in English. So he ended that struggle and was blessed by being renamed with not a dualistic sense which he had before, but with a monistic sense of being the man of God. If we go further, then we can see that suddenly, like in the subtone of soul as soul in the days of creation, where we saw that the seed is within itself, that now that Abraham's sense as father of the multitude began now to express itself, instead of just one person renaming himself and going the way from sense to soul, the Bible tells us now of the whole tribe of Israel being led by Moses. Now it's the whole tribe that is renamed, to be renamed as the children of Israel, and Moses leading them right through the dangers of the Red Sea into the wilderness, through the wilderness, 40 years to Jordan, and showed them the promised land. So Moses could see that it was not only necessary that each one finds his true identity, but that he also would have to first to identify the God of each one. So in that period of soul as soul, he could see that what they had to worship was not the God of Abraham or the God of Jacob, but the I am that I am. He was asking for a new name, and it was revealed to him as an identity of being, that being is unchangeable, and that that would be the God that would have to lead each one, so that each one would be able to go right back to the true identity of God, and in this way feel the seed within itself, so that the whole tribe of Israel really could go through that passage from sense to soul, could meet animal magnetism at the Red Sea, could meet the wilderness experience where the mortal sense of things begin to disappear and the spiritual sense of things began to appear. It was a long process of purification that took place until finally they found the dry land. Within that period, we meet also soul as principle, namely when Moses began to see that it is not enough just to see soul as soul, namely God as the I am that I am, but that identity must have a principle, that it must be explainable, interpretable as a principle, as a system. And so he gave the children of Israel the commandments, the tablets that he had to break up. He had to break up that I am that I am into the system of rules and laws. And so he gave them the commandments. So you get here a very good sense of soul as principle, in which he established really the rules that should govern the individual in relation to God, but also the individual in relation to all the other individuals. Then, finally, Moses could only show them that they could go over Jordan, and that was quite a different experience than to go through the Red Sea. The Red Sea was a passage really through the ups and downs of animal magnetism, whereas going over Jordan, led by Joshua, it showed the very harmonious transition really into the promised land. It was showing really that now the identity of being the promised land would be that land which was promised for them forever. It had a tone of immortality in it because that land should be there forever. And we know that even today this is the reason why. Yes, we have the whole difficulty in the Far East because still the Jews know that that land has been given to them forever, and therefore they want it. Without going into anything like that, just see that these things have their very deep-rooted historical concept. Well, that brings us right up to the Promised Land, when the judges began to rule, and the moment you were in the Promised Land, then the question came up, who is going to govern us? And the question of principle and the government of principle, like in the fourth day, became a central subject. That central subject was first tackled quite inspirationally, principle as mind, namely, they tried to rule themselves through vision, through the judges. At that time there was no king in Israel, and every man did as it pleased him. The rendering is that every man did what he felt to be right. There was no king there, but it was interesting to see that when they had no king and every man did what he felt to be right, that it always turned out to be wrong. That they always got into trouble. apparently they haven't yet seen the full sense of principle. They only had some kind of a vision of that everyone is under the government of God. They really tried to demonstrate a theocratic government where God would be the governor of everybody and everybody would turn to God. But as they didn't have enough understanding of that principle, because principle hadn't been seen and demonstrated enough, they therefore were more often mistaken, and they always got into trouble. And when they got into trouble, then they asked for a savior, for a helper, which was called a judge. The judge wasn't a judge as we have it today, sitting in the courtroom and judging. It was the judges at that time were prototypes of the Christ. They were individuals who had some kind of a vision and would be able to save the situation. They were saviors, saving a situation, just as in history you very often have that in great danger of a nation, somebody would stand out and lead the nation out of trouble. So these churches were actually a kind of a representative of a theocratic government. But when the country was saved, then it usually always said, and everybody did again what they felt to be right, until they got into a mess again. And so seven times through judges they got into trouble, and seven times a judge had to come up and save the situation. So it gives a sense here that they had a very good beginning principle as mind, but because they didn't quite know enough yet, they had to learn their lessons. We have after judges, naturally Samuel, who again was a savior, a prophet, and he too wanted to govern, really, Israel according to the vision of God. And he warned the people against clamoring for a king and said, well, if you want a king, you clamor for a king, you can have it, but you will know that they will take everything away from you. So they clamored for the king, and the king came. We have the king Saul and the king David, and there we have a completely new subtone in it, namely now that the understanding that David had of the spiritual values, because he always leaned on the spiritual, never on the material. He always could separate properly what is of the divine nature and what is of wrong nature. Principle of spirit at that point could unite those tribes, those 12 tribes, into one kingdom, and David was the king of both Judah and Israel, and united the whole of Israel. But then you know that right afterwards, after David and Solomon, the kingdom fell apart into a northern kingdom, into a southern kingdom, and from then on Israel was never anymore united. So we come to a completely different period after that exponent of, like, David and Solomon as the king ruling the country. We have principle as soul. And we remember that principle as soul will tell us that the principle is a soul free from limitations. That soul is never in anything, so that the government is never in the person. And the outward manifestation of it was that the children of Israel were scattered all over the world. That is, they broke the boundary of Israel. They were scattered into the whole world, right over the whole world. First of all, into the captivity of Assyria, then into the captivity of Babylon. And since then, really, the Jews were scattered all over. That was naturally, in many cases later on in history, the safety of the Jews, that they were not bound and narrowed in into a little country like Israel or Palestine, but they were found afterwards all over the place, and it showed that principle wanted, so to say, to break the limits, the narrow limits of the national borders. Then came quite a different period again, namely when in distress, in captivity, they had the prophets coming up and telling them that they will be freed again out of captivity, that they will be reinstated, and that they will be brought back to Israel under a completely new regime, namely under the regime of the priestly document, under the regime of an understanding, so that principle as principle in the prophetic age began to show that what the people needed was not the king that would rule them, but the system that would rule them. And so they gave them the days of creation at that point. It's quite amazing to read the prophetic literature of that time, like Ezekiel, who was perhaps the most outstanding thinker in captivity, perhaps the man behind the priestly document. His whole message that he delivered was really, when you read Ezekiel, was one great systematic symbolization of the system of being. It was all numbers, symbols of numbers, everything was symmetrical, everything was laid out like a great geometrician. He gave everything in an absolutely schematic, stereotyped way, so that you felt here is a great scientific thinker at work. And so Israel were asked really to submit themselves to the government of a principle that could be understood through its system and not through be governed by a king. Which led finally to the tone of principle as life, namely Mary brought forth the promised king, a spiritual king, Jesus. The life, he came to life.